Montag, Wiesn, Marken, Lohn.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
It's pretty funny when a guy posts on your Facebook Live, says, I'm confused. I guess I confused him.
That's not good, is it?
I don't know. You're confused out there, let me know. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. We had the Alexi Lalas rant on. We had Craig Burley on. A lot of the gist of this is that we're probably a little too soft on the U.S. national team. Look, these players in MLS now, they've grown up with the game very differently than people from the past. Incredible infrastructure, more money behind the sport. Social media, it's totally different. I don't put the blame on all of them. Effort, though? Effort's got to be there. 713-780-3776. We're going to get to the phone lines. Before I get to James here, quick word for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. By the way, they're bilingual as well. Whatever type of accident you're in, motorcycle, boat, car, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work for you 24-7. They're going to fight for your right for compensation. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. James, you are up.
Good evening. Thanks, Glenn, for taking the phone call. I just want to make a comment on the previous caller and their comments regarding the pressure that we put on an 18-year-old. But if you're able to understand the German press, and whenever Borussia Dortmund plays bad, he also gets a lot of pressure from that media. So Borussia Dortmund, the club team's doing it. Why can Alexi Lalas or anybody that has an opinion in soccer put pressure on an 18-year-old? That's absurd that we cannot. And I don't think
there's any question you can. You can. Yeah. I think it's that people are saying, hey, we got to be careful. We want to nurture this kid along. We don't want to put the entire pressure of a U.S. national team on him right away. Craig Burley said the same thing. No, I think Alexi did put pressure on him. Alexi put pressure on him. Craig Burley said, we've got to nurture this kid along.
Yeah, but that's assuming that he's not used to this. This kid's coming out of a tough area in Pennsylvania. He's, as a youth player, he's always playing 2-3 years up in the country. He went over and is living the dream. He's got a thicker backbone than people think.
Oh, I think you're making a tremendous point. He's a lot more mature than any 18-year-old I've ever seen. Landon Donovan came out and said, you know, he's worlds ahead of where I was, and you're right. The situation in Dortmund, 60, 70,000 people every game. I called a game once in that stadium. It's unbelievable. I think you're talking that he's capable of handling it. It's not that big a deal. I would probably agree with you. He seems to have handled himself just well, just fine.
And if he wasn't competitive and he couldn't handle that, he wouldn't be where he is right now. And I think that's just the innocence of the young soccer fan that makes comments like that, not really analyzing the whole situation. Or maybe it's a lack of soccer background, but definitely
the kid's got
a lot of potential.
Yeah, I wouldn't call out Kareem that much on it. You have a differing opinion, but there's been a lot of commentators, pundits who have said exactly what Kareem said. You want to nurture him along. You're not going to be able to protect him from any sort of criticism. I don't think you're going to be able to protect him at all. And if they wanted to protect him, they wouldn't be playing him every single game like Bruce Arena is.
No, and this kid is probably one of the first players we have in this country as a legitimate starter playing at a top club in Europe. And we forget that sometimes. There's a reason why he's there. But also wanted to move on, and also I think there was a great comment on how someone in Boston is going to run for president of this federation. I think it's time that this federation has a new president, and I think there's a lot of things wrong with youth soccer, and I think it's We lost a lot of World Cup bids. Things like this country should be able to get the World Cup every couple of World Cups anyway. And I think it's time for a change. And I think Arena was the right person for the right job. I think Salon Gulati made the right decision. But it's not the best decision for this country long term. And it really has to evaluate how clubs and everyone's raising these players to. We need something better than what we have out there right now. And this trickles down to youth development because I think the greatest quote that Alexei Lala said, these players are privileged. And Glenn, you can vouch for me on this. Alexei Lalas and even Lonnie Donovan didn't have this system that we have now around these players. So there's no excuse not to perform better.
No, but that's supposed to be a positive when infrastructure and everything improves. Now, the man you're talking about is Steve Ganz, and that's interesting that you brought that up because I was about to bring it up. He's a Boston-based attorney. We're going to try and get him on this show in the near future. So Sunil Gulati, who's the current president, has run unopposed in 2006, 10, and 14. That's not healthy. I'm not a big – I always believe in term limits. I think you got to have some sort of limits as to how long the same person with the same ideas are in positions, and that's not to be hypercritical. I just think that should be put in place. We should not have a career position for a president of U.S. soccer. Somebody new's got to come in, whatever the amount of years is. Somebody new with fresh ideas and a different take has to come in.
Glenn, I think the difference also is that when Gulati allowed Klinsmann to not have Donovan in that roster, and you know, there's arguments for this, but there's Donovan would have scored at least one goal as a sub, or would have had a role with that national team in the World Cup, and a president in other countries would not allow someone like Lonnie Donovan, or for someone like that means that much for his national team, not to be on it, and I think that turned off a lot of fans, and including myself, that. Finally, we have Lonnie Donovan that gets all the Hispanics behind the U.S., well, most of the Hispanics behind the U.S. national team that before the other generations, and God bless them, weren't able to do that. And the minute you turn this guy down and you allow this to happen as a president, it puts a really bad taste on U.S. soccer and the professional part coming up. Well, if they can do this to an icon, they can do it to everyone. And there was no justification soccer-wise to do that. And I think that also turned a lot of people against our current president, because Lonnie Donovan did bring this country together with those goals that he scored in, you know, against Mexico and so on and so on. So I think a lot of people don't see him as a fan favorite anymore. And it's time for a new president for this country.
Yeah, by the way, U.S. Soccer did back in March voted to adopt term limits. I'm just looking at this here right now as you were talking about that. For elected offices of president, vice president, members of its board of directors, while also awarding U.S. soccer fan members a national council vote. So it says here, as you go on in this thing, it says, in a national council vote, the U.S. soccer membership adopted a proposal championed by U.S. soccer president Sunil Gulati that introduces a limit of 3 terms totaling 12 years for federation officers, president, vice president, and 16 years for board members. What do you think of that? Too long?
I mean, I also think there's other countries that that are bigger than us soccer-wise, and Argentina and had president for a long time. And I just think this whether this country goes to World Cup or not, I think MLS is here to stay. I think youth development is getting better, and it definitely needs to improve. This country needs a young, new ideas and new leadership, and I think it's time for it.
Yeah. I like your thought. I like your thought process, James. Anything else before I let you go?
No, thanks a lot, Glenn, for the phone call. I appreciate it.
All right, great stuff from James there. We got a lot of good, educated phone calls coming in here tonight. By the way, we are going to do a quick interview, and we need to get Eddie Robinson on the phone. So if you could call Eddie. Oh, Eddie's there. Let's bring Eddie on right now. We're going to talk Dynamo for the next 8 to 10 minutes. Then from the flat, my good friend DJ Sun. The flat is going to be a sponsor now of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So we're going to announce it tonight with DJ Sun. Say a quick hello, DJ Sun.
Hey, what's up, Glenn? What's up, listeners? Man, I'm happy to be here. Happy to be a part of this wonderful show. I've been listening to you for a while and been participating with this for a while. And so I'm really, really happy to be a part of it.
We're going to learn about the flat tonight. We're also going to learn about a really cool segment we're going to add to the show where you are going to select a really cool kind of band that maybe is not flying in the mainstream and a song that people can look up. So
we're going to
call it DJ. Well, we've got to come up with a name. Is it DJ Sun's Pick of the Week?
Maybe Pick of the Month. Yeah, because we're doing a roundtable once a month.
No, we'll do that. We can do
either way.
So we'll get it figured out. But we're gonna mix a little music into the show too, because I'm a great listener and collector of music, and the guy next to me is a great producer and creator of music. So a little bit different. I'm like in the ninth division. The guy next to me is in the first. But I'm a first division listener, and I do know a lot of names and songs. So
nice one.
DJ Sun's here. So let me get Eddie Robinson on. We're going to just talk a quick 8-9 minutes on Houston Dynamo. Is Eddie there?
What's up?
Hey, Glenn? Eddie, how are you, buddy? All right, so
good, I
want you to relive this. Can you run the Dominic Baggi? Relive this. Because you and me were down doing the Dynamo game against Colorado, and then this happened in stoppage time.
Leonardo in vain trying to get back. Agner has gone wide. And they slow it down. They allow the Dynamo to get back behind the ball. Agner to the far post. Be careful. Oh, no. It's 1-0 Colorado.
So that was the way it ended. So let's just first talk about our general impressions about that game. You start.
Disappointing, for sure. I mean, that game. After that game, there's 7 games left. There were 8 games left. And if you had to circle one that you absolutely must take 3 points from, it's Colorado at home. I mean, as poor as they've been, the poor run of form they've been on, I know we were talking about the Dynamo had, significant time off and were a bit rusty. But the one thing that the Dynamo have had all year at home is killer instinct. I mean, just murder sharks that smell blood in the water and destroy teams. And it wasn't there. Yeah. It wasn't there. And, to see, I think that was the game that by halftime you knew Eric Torres was not going to be successful. Would have loved to have seen maybe him come off instead of Minotas and get Kyoto on. Just test the lack of pace. The Colorado back too, and if the Dynamo could have gotten that first goal, it would have opened Colorado up so much, but they couldn't. They couldn't open them up. The Thomas Martinez sub late on was a great idea, but you needed somebody in there that was going to open up.
All right, let me stop you right there, because you just brought up a great point. And by the way, the Dynamo have not been good at home when conceding the first goal. I don't think they've been good all year when they concede the first goal. Here's a couple of my takes. They never looked sharp. They never looked as though that sharpness was really improving. There were so many unforced errors. 17 days without a competitive match. I didn't expect them to be fully sharp. I thought they would grow into it as the game went on. I can't for a second think that these guys don't have compassion and didn't mentally on their minds have a little bit of the hurricane. I know some people won't agree with me. Philip Senderos debuted at center back. But here's the big concern for me, and it comes at a time where you've signed this creative playmaker who's been brought here to break down deeper defending teams. Eddie, the Dynamo struggle against deep defending teams. They struggle.
Oh, always have.
Yeah.
Always have. And, on his day, Alex Lima can do things with the ball at his feet, maybe find guys, but not consistently. And the point you're making right now is that's what Tomas Martinez is supposed to do. So, how long are you going to nurture this kid?
Tomas Rodriguez, is it time for him to be a starter?
I mean, I think there are a lot more ways to argue for him to be a starter than there are to argue against it. I think this last game was a perfect example. He's been here long enough. He's used to the weather. He's used to the team. He's used to the coach. I do think it's time.
Well, listen, he was brought here as a designated player, as a playmaker. The time is now. There's only 7 games left in the season. You're going to San Jose on the road where you've only won 1 road game all year long. My concern is if you don't get a result in San Jose, wow, that all of a sudden things could spiral. It's a concern.
Well, I mean,
it's not a panic, but it's a concern. It's not a panic.
With some of the with the results, the way they've been going in the Western Conference for the teams around them, below them, mm-hmm. I mean, L.A. tie in Seattle, Kansas City's loss, Dallas losing. I mean, the Dynamo have been really lucky that a lot of results over the last 2 weeks have gone their way, but can't continue to count on that. You've got to start picking up points. You've got to get wins because for as optimistic as everyone was 6 weeks ago about where this team is, and it's going to make Dynamo going to make the playoffs. Listen, after next week, the Dynamo could be out of the playoff, under the playoff line, and I don't think that's acceptable.
Yeah, not make with, sure you know, call it the playoff. Call it the playoff line, not the red line. Call it call it the playoff line. You got that memo today, didn't you? Call it the playoff line, or I'm going to have to slap your wrists if you get. Am I bringing a stick to the broadcast?
And
on the broadcast, when you say if you say red line on the broadcast, I'm going to crack you with a bamboo stick across the wrist. Okay.
And then I'm going to do it multiple times and see if you actually follow through with that. Don't write a check. You can't cash.
The playoff line. It's the playoff line. Okay, so here's the other thing I want to say. You just mentioned the Dynamo are fifth. They're on 38 points. Real Salt Lake with 35. San Jose with 36. I mean, this is huge for San Jose this weekend, as it is for the Dynamo, but they can't afford to lose now.
Listen, I don't think many teams in the Western Conference are. If you're above that line, if you're above the red line, if you're above
the playoff line,
yeah, I'm going to keep doing it just because it winds you up. If you're above that line, you
I just smacked you, man.
You have to. You have to if you want to make the playoffs. You have to win games.
Playoff line.
You lose games, somebody's going to catch you from behind. Somebody's going to catch you. If you don't win games, you're not taking points. That's what it is. And it would be unacceptable. It is unacceptable for me, for the Dynamo, with the players that have been brought in, with the quality they have, with the money they spent on Tomas Martinez. You know, they had to bring DeMarcus Beasley back, all of these things, it would be unacceptable.
Well, it would be a monster body blow if they don't make the playoffs after not having been in them for a number of years. FC Dallas is kind of in free fall. That's pretty interesting. Vancouver's sitting in unbelievable position because they've got games in hand on people. They've only played 26 games, and they're on 41 points in third place.
And they're what have they won, four in a row?
Yeah,
now,
they're on a tear.
They're flying.
Yeah, they're on a tear.
They're flying, and that's what you want. Coming in the end of the season, going in the playoffs, as long as you make it in.
Seattle?
You get your form at peak performance going into the playoffs, you're going to do well.
Seattle's lost Jordan Morris now, apparently, for a while with a hamstring injury, so that could handcuff them. That might mean Will Bruin has to play a bigger part there.
Well, listen, Will Bruin's done well since he's been in Seattle. He's got himself some goals, some assists.
Yeah, not lately, though. He hasn't been playing as much lately.
Well, not as much lately, but still, I mean, listen, he gets a little bit of confidence and gets some good form. I mean, we saw what Will Bruin could do here in Houston when surrounded with the players that complement his game, and I think Seattle has that. So, it's who knows, man? It's Major League Soccer, right? I mean, if you're a betting man, you would have bet that Houston would have won the last game, right? Against Colorado.
I thought it was, if I was listening to some of the other commentators on the radio, what do they call those games? They use this this term called a trap game. And it was a trap game to me because, look, 17 days without a competitive game, you're bussed up to Dallas to practice, you're totally out of your routine, things are unsettled, guys had water coming up to their front doors, they're seeing an entire city. I mean, I still can't get my head wrapped around everything that I'm doing like I would like to because I'm thinking of the hurricane here in Houston. I'm thinking of my brother and his family in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. It's hard. It's hard not to think about it. It's everywhere. It's right in front of you.
Yeah. But,
and that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse.
No, it's not.
The biggest surprise to me, Eddie, was that Colorado came to play because they didn't in L.A. the week before.
Well, that's the thing, though. I don't think Colorado came to play. Colorado came to sit back, try to get a point at 0-0.
No, I don't mean
maybe
came to play in that.
They
were engaged mentally like they were not engaged mentally against L.A. I knew they were coming.
Well, you brought
up
a great point. You brought up a great point during the broadcast is that, you know, Steve Cook, the interim coach, who came from
Colorado's academy system, they're probably not going to keep him. These guys on this Colorado team, they don't know who the next coach is going to be. So they're playing for jobs right now. So they need to perform. They have to perform.
Well, they won against L.A. Against L.A., they looked like they had their locker cleaned out and they had their golf clubs in the back of their car. I was surprised that they came and were as engaged as they were. Now, if the Dynamo, I think, had hit them early and scored early like they've done at home, I think we might have seen something very different.
It would have been totally different.
All right,
use that wounded animal analogy?
Yeah, what's your biggest thought for the Dynamo heading in against San Jose?
I just don't see why you can't play. Why Wilmer Cabrera won't play Kyoto and Elise at the same time? Won't start them at least. I mean, we saw the havoc they wreaked against the United States in World Cup qualifying. We saw what they did together early in the season. I think it's time. I mean, they're young. They're your horses. Ride your horses. This is the time of the season where you have to make good decisions. And those guys, I think, need to be starting. I think Tomas Martinez has done enough. I think other guys have done enough to warrant Tomas getting a chance to start. Give him a chance. Put some faith in him. Tell him we need you.
Do you think that'll happen this weekend? Do you think Wilmer starts him? I don't know if that's the right game to do it.
That's what I want to see. It's time. I mean, there's 7 games left in the season, and you're barely in a playoff position. You got to, even if it's just a point, you know, even if you come out of San Jose with a draw, 1-1, 2-2, something like that, you got to start getting points on the road because you only got 7 games left. If you don't, teams are going to pass you up. But the Dynamo have to be aggressive. I mean, I think the Dynamo back four have proven that they can withstand pressure from opponents. They've done well. Juan David Cabezas has done a really good job of staying at home and help protecting that back four. Tell your front five, go for it, guys. Just go. Go get some goals. Go get us some points. I want to see it. I think the Dynamo are at their best when they do that, when their attacking group plays with almost a reckless abandon. They're so scary for pace and strength and power. I just want to see it. I just feel like the collar has been on a group of guys, and just let it loose. Let them loose.
All right.
Go.
So you and I will be on the call of that one. The pregame show will start at 9:00 on the Cube. So join Eddie and I on Saturday night. We're looking forward to that one. One thinks that that's going to be an open game because San Jose's got to be aggressive. I don't think there's any question. They need the 3 points as big as the Dynamo do. By the way, what'd you have for dinner?
I made a New York strip, some angel hair pasta with Alfredo, a Caesar salad, and some French rolls.
Okay.
It was a nice dinner.
Yeah, I'm ready for my next meal. Okay, Eddie.
Come on down.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you for coming on tonight.
All right, brother.
And we'll see you Saturday, right?
I'll see you on Saturday, buddy.
All right. That's the one and only Eddie Robinson. He's the analyst on the Cube broadcast of the Dynamo, also former Dynamo defender and MLS All-Star. Which brings me to my in-studio guest. He's the one and only DJ Sun. Just a little background on Andre and DJ Sun and I. We've been friends for quite a long time. So it's great to have you on the show. And by the way, congratulations. Let me just say we appreciate you supporting the soccer show. And so you have The Flat, which is a really cool kind of venue for music and DJs. Tell us a little bit about The Flat.
Yeah, so The Flat's located in Montrose, 1701 Commonwealth. It's been there for about 13 years. I actually started there as a DJ and then had the opportunity to take over and purchase the spot. And so it is DJ run. And of course, you know, the emphasis is on DJ music. We have some live music on Tuesday nights as well. Tonight, for instance, is reggae night. And
different genres, right?
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like the mix you guys got down there. You have different things.
Yeah.
Chill, you do some electronica, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's mostly music that's not in the mainstream. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, that's the place to go to. You know, so we do a lot of underground stuff, a lot of really great DJs in town. I curate I curate all the music and I make sure that, you know, the DJs that are there are up to par and know what they're doing.
You got guys that come from out of the city too, right?
Yeah.
DJs that are definitely traveling through Houston. I mean, kind of like you do. I know you go to different places around the country. Describe what you do as a DJ, your type of music.
Okay, so
categorize it for me.
It would be considered an open format because I don't necessarily play just one format. It's all underground. It's not mainstream. You won't hear it on the radio. Mm-hmm. And my styles, you know, my style of music will vary depending on the atmosphere that I'm trying to play to. When I was playing downtown at the Grove, for instance, it's a little bit more of a background situation. When I'm playing Friday nights at the Flat, it's a little bit more of a danceable situation. So that's when I ratchet up the tempo a little bit and the vibe.
So I would urge you to go to theflathouston.com. This kind of gives you the real vibe and sense of what the flat is about. It's theflathouston.com. Now, I'm hoping a little later, because you're gonna sit in here with me for a while.
Sure.
I'm hoping a little later you're going to come up with your DJ Sun pick.
Yeah.
Pick of the week. Thing I want to tell you about DJ Sun, he's played soccer his whole life. He also follows the Dutch Eredivisie and the Dutch national team like there's no business. So because he speaks and reads Dutch, he gets a lot of good stuff. So he's been my go-to guy for Dutch soccer, and he will be our go-to guy on the show. Nice. So we're going to talk a little Dutch soccer, and we're going to bring up a very interesting thing with Ruud Gullit that has ended up going viral over in the Netherlands when we come back. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Before we go to break, more with DJ Sun, more with The Flat. Again, a reminder, theflathouston.com. This is a really cool spot and a great spot to head over because like DJ Sun said, this is not mainstream music. It's really cool sort of underground stuff, and we like that. Before we go to the break, just reminding you again about the King's Court. It's down in Edo, right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins. It's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. It's right next to the stadium. The King's Court, Jay is down there. Today they had a lot of the Manchester United crowd down there. The Houston Red Army with Tom Clare was down there. Watching their Champions League match, the 3-0 win against Basel. By the way, the goal scorers in that were Fellaini, Lukaku, and who got the third? Marcus Rashford got the third in that one. So United fans were happy, but it's pretty funny because Jose Mourinho called it PlayStation football, and not in an endearing way, by the way. But anyway, back to King's Court. They've got a great spot, rooftop deck over there, a patio. It sits in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Say hello to Jay, kingscourttx.com. And then one more reminder about Bud Light. Bud Light has supported me throughout my career on the radio, which it's hard to believe it's been as long as it has been. I mean, I've been on the radio with the soccer show, believe it or not, for well over, God, it's got to be 12 or 13 years, which... That's pretty amazing because I remember back in the day I started at KPFT and DJ Sun had a show over there as well. But it's been a long time. And Bud Light was behind me back then and Budweiser, Camilo Rojas and company. They remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and a Bud Light. Pop a Bud Light when you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. But more importantly, get your friends. Get a bucket of Bud Lights. Go over to King's Court. Go to the Gorgeous Gale. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 Wednesdays at 7. We'll take a break, and it is a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thanks for tuning in on Facebook Live here tonight. Also, been getting a lot of good feedback there. We thank you for that. Also, thanks to Craig Burley for coming on the show. Okay, now it's time for, and you're listening to the music. This is DJ Sun's Underground Album Pick of the Month. Take it away.
So we're listening to a track by Lord Echo, Thinking of You. It's a cover of Sister Sledge's Thinking of You back in like the early 80s, late 90s. I mean, late 70s. He's got a brand new album out, and it's called Harmonies on Soundwave Records. Just a beautiful album, 70s aesthetic. He likes to mix a little bit of reggae and with contemporary beats. He likes to bring in, he's from New Zealand, so he brings in a number of singers from New Zealand. Really beautiful music that I've just been hooked on this whole month.
Very nice. There it is. DJ Sun's Underground Album Pick of the Month, Lord Echo, and of course DJ Sun, his place, theflathouston.com.
That's correct.
So this is the type of music you can hear over there. It's a great vibe. Great place to take a date. Great place to come single. Fun, fun place. Food, drink, you name it. They've got it over there. Nick Lineback says, Aklan Davis criticism should be more often used in the MLS and national team. They want to be taken seriously, then they need the criticism. Okay, so I always love listening to, after the Texans play, some of the talk radio, because it goes everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible entertainment. Sometimes it's way whack. It's off the charts dumb from some of the requests that people make. But a lot of it's very interesting. And you heard the show tonight. You heard Alexi Lalas's rant on the U.S. national team. You heard Craig Burley talking about, you know, commentators and things. You follow Dutch soccer. In the Netherlands, people are blunt. And national teams have been torn apart by criticism, with the press involved, with players and everything. Where do you think we stand in this country media-wise when it comes to healthy pressure?
You know, I think there's a maturation process that's necessary here. And I think with the Dutch being having been successful since 1974, that's their own poison, you know, for a small country, if you want to put it that way. That success means that everyone's looking back to 74, 78, even this last World Cup, you know, when they finished third. The one before that, when they finished second. These standards are really high. When you set these standards, the press in the Netherlands are blunt culture anyway. But those standards have definitely come from expectations, because the Dutch are leaders in the Cruyff School of soccer. You know, they have been on the cutting edge of total soccer. That's now needing to take a backseat to a little bit more practical, pragmatic way of playing. And that's,
is that based on the way the game has grown around the world in their minds, or is that based on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, I mean, Cruyff is revered.
You're making me sad.
Yeah.
When I hear his voice right now, I just get so sad he's not around anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that was a sad day when he passed. But his legacy lives on, and they want to continue doing that. But is it practical? Is it pragmatic to do so when you don't have the talent that's coming through?
Okay, so why, you know, when we've all heard about the Ajax system, we've seen players like DeMarcus Beasley and Michael Bradley go over and play there, Jozy Altidore, because it's a great place to go from a technical standpoint and the tactical side of the game. So what's happening now? Why are the Dutch clubs struggling? Why aren't they producing as many players? What is the common theme there?
Man, there's a great editorial in Football International, and they're addressing Frankie de Jong. Frankie de Jong is a young player who's coming up in the Ajax system, but he didn't come.
No relation to Nigel.
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. Nigel de Jong had Surinamese roots, similar to mine. Frankie de Jong is definitely a Dutch boy. He came through Tilburg, Willem II, and only late did he join Ajax. And one of the points that he made was, you know what? I took the risk of not following my coaches and being so regimented about this 4-3-3 system and doing everything that I was supposed to do because I was one of the better talents at a smaller club. And I believe they showcased that article at the right time when Dutch soccer is in trouble right now. We don't have the talent. We don't have the creativity. You watch the Dutch national soccer team and, you know, guys like Wijnaldum, Strootman, they're playing at their club level at an amazing rate, at an amazing clip.
But what's happened? Has the emphasis changed in these clubs on what they're doing with young players? Is it what you just maybe referenced? They're focused a little bit too much on the tactical side of it now, to the detriment of the technical side of it, the ability to pass and control a ball under pressure. What is it?
You know, that would be the point that Frankie de Jong is making. A very young kid, and you'll see his name come up. I think he's going to do some things, even on the national level. I believe that's the point that he makes. And he's been within the system. He's seen the Ajax system, but he's also seen the smaller club system. And yes, you're right. They're a little bit too regimented. They need to be a little bit more creatively minded about what needs to be done on the field.
Okay. DJ Sun's in studio here. Also Victor Ariza. Before I get to Victor, you have mentioned that there is also a lot of talk, and we hear this out of Mexico. We hear this a lot of places. It's a pretty common theme around the world because people are getting paid insane amounts of money.
Yep.
But you have also said that Dutch players now seem to be putting their club before country to the detriment of performance with the national team.
You know, that's been the criticism. Of course, I'm not in their heads, but you see that. You know, you see Strootman. You see a guy like Wijnaldum. And Wijnaldum also is a kid with Surinamese roots.
Brothers in MLS in Philadelphia.
Yeah, definitely. Playing left back. You see them being a little bit too careful and not necessarily taking the reins. Could that also be that maybe some of the older guys are holding on too long, or they're holding on to a Snyder too long? He brought Van Persie back, who didn't quite complete the game because of injury. That could be as well. They might be deferring to other players at this point. But you wonder if it's, you know, hey man, I got to protect myself in order to be good for the club, because that's where I make my money.
All right. Stay with us. A couple of things here real quick before we go to break. Manchester United 3-0 over Basel today. That was a pretty dominant performance from them, even though their manager was not very happy about that game and the way it went. And a couple of other scores, though, from Champions League play here today. And we all love the Champions League. Real Madrid 3, Apoel Nicosia 0, Liverpool 2, and Sevilla 2. I'm sorry, Liverpool fans, you're upset there. Missed penalty. Feyenoord gets crushed at Feyenoord by Manchester City 4-0. Shakhtar Donetsk winners over Napoli, 2-1. Besiktas, 3-1 over Porto. Spurs, 2 from Harry Kane over Dortmund. Roma and Atletico Madrid, 0-0. Bayern Munich, a lot of trouble at FC Hollywood right now. People speaking out. Even Carlo Ancelotti dropping the fact that he wants to coach in the Premier League. Lewandowski, Alcantara, and Kimmich getting the goals for Bayern. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to get Victor Ariza's thoughts on healthy pressure in the United States. More from DJ Sun and theflathouston.com. Plus, we're going to come back right off the top. Remember this, Jose? Football funnies. I got a really funny one out of the world of football to tell you about here today. It's going to make you wonder about a number of things. We'll take a break, Bud Light break.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.
It's time for football funnies.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
He knocked that ball with his head. Is that legal?
I don't understand why.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Why?
All right, this is a quick one. Marco Asensio, you're going to love this, had an infected pimple after shaving his legs. This infected pimple stopped him from pulling his socks up, and it means he missed training. You got to love it. Marco Asensio, infected pimple, couldn't play. That, to me, is pretty funny. That's what you get. That whole shaving the legs thing. I know it's a good look when you're out there. The nice, slick look. But watch out for the infected pimple. All right, Victor, you got a quick update here. Victor Ariza, a quick update on Michael Bradley responding to Alexi Lalas.
Yeah, he responded today. It came out on Sportsnet, which is one of the big publications in Canada, where at first he kind of just alluded to if you need to have thick skin to be a professional soccer player. But at the end, he kind of took a little jab. He said that he likes a little saying, the lion doesn't occupy himself with the opinions of sheep, and he said, I'll just leave it at that. And I think that was just that's a little bit uncalled for, because whatever you may think of Lalas's opinion, I think he's still seen as one of the captains of the national team. And Lalas, again, whatever you may think, he's one of the guys that paved the way for you. And I think that's one of the things that I did take from Lalas's whole rant that maybe people are overlooking. He did say, this is the generation that's given everything. Basically, don't screw it up. And that gets lost, but it's true. I mean, you were talking about Cagliari the week before. You know, how huge was that for U.S. soccer? You know, then the national team that came after that, and what these guys have, the talent, the ability they have compared to the other guys, the Lalases, the Wijnaldums, that weren't as talented but had more grit. And look what they accomplished. And I think,
pretty sure it even goes back. I mean, the generation before is going to tell you that they had to slug it out in the one before that, but that was the most high-profile one, Lalas, Alexi, Eric Harks, and all those guys. Okay, so that's good stuff. And I do believe that the Metro Stars, if I'm correct, I hope I'm correct here. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank, but I think Alexi Lalas might have been in a GM position and fired Bob Bradley, Michael's father. So there may be some other. I'm sure there's there's a lot of underlying stuff there. I'm not sure I like the response. I think you got to have a thick skin. All right, speaking of thick skin, you got to have thick skin if you're on a Dutch national team and you play soccer in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about the media there. And I mean, are the knives out for the Dutch national team now because they can't sort of recap what the Johan Cruyff did in 74 and the 78 team? I mean, how critical are they?
Things have come to a little bit more of a reality base. When Danny Blind was at the helm, that's when the knives came out and they effectively got rid of him. But he was not one of the greatest managers. The way things went about, what comes out in the press afterwards about how he ran the team, and there was criticism against Arjen Robben very recently about how he may have put up a charade when the cameras were on, etc. You know, you see that from experienced Dutch journalists who are seeing this week in, week out, and so that's where we are. We are no longer, when I say we, the Dutch are no longer a top 10 team, and I think they've come to the reality of that. Louis van Gaal looks really good now, having finished as high as he did at the World Cup with a system that.
But that final. Oh.
Yeah, and so the.
I meant the one Cup before.
Yeah, the World Cup before. That was Bert from Eric. But what Van Gaal did with the talent that was up and coming, when you compare that now to what's happening now, you have a lot more respect for Louis van Gaal. And I think it got lost in a lot of the going back and forth with the press, because Louis van Gaal is such an enigmatic such a lightning rod for criticism because of his personal attributes, you know, and the things that he's got a huge ego. But the Dutch are suffering. Dutch soccer is in trouble. You saw it today with Feyenoord against Man City. They wanted to adjust the game. They wanted to adjust systems. They played in the Kuip in Rotterdam. That's usually a place where they can do some damage. They beat Man U, or at least tied them the last round.
All right, so we got to wrap it up here. DJ Sun here, theflathouston.com, newest sponsor, and also we'll be doing our DJ Sun musical pick every month.
Nice.
Andre, I know you as Andre, but I'm going to call you DJ Sun for now on the show. Thank you for coming on.
Man, thanks for having me.
Victor, thanks for that tidbit about Michael Bradley responding. Now, a couple of things here. I want to apologize to everybody for Kristen Press not getting on the program tonight. Tried to tape an interview this afternoon. I waited here. We couldn't get it done. We were supposed to have her on tonight at 7:45. It also didn't happen. So I tried my best to get her on. So my apologies for that. I will try again for all of you who are hoping to hear from her. Also, places in Houston to donate. RedCross.org, Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund, that's GHCF.org. AmeriCare, Salvation Army, Houston Food Bank, Houston Humane Society. Plus, if you go to Facebook Soccer Matters, the fundraiser for Tom Clare is published there. It's GoFundMe.com. Tom's our guy, man. We got to support Tom in a big way. A fundraiser for Tom Clare. It's over at Soccer Matters. Thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. Jose Partida, thank you very much for all the good work behind the glass here tonight. Stay Houston strong. Say St. Thomas and Caribbean strong. Miami, Rockport, you name it, wherever you are. That's taking precedent over anything in the soccer world. Good night, everyone.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.